The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? Happy Memorial Day. Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS NFL Podcast, your destination for all NFL offseason news. I'm Katie Mox here with Will Brinson and John Breach. And today is our Pick Six mailbag show. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTube page. For everyone listening to audio only, do the same. Make sure you download, follow, leave a five-star review, and tell your friends to listen and watch the pod. Before we get into our mailbag, how about that morning buzz? Did you miss some of the action while you were sleeping? Your sports day starts here. Highlights from all of the top games and leagues. Catch up on storylines and social buzz. Jump in, jump out. Morning Buzz runs all morning starting at 9 a.m. Get it all for free on the CBS Sports app. Let's jump right in to the mailbag now. That's kind of
Sorry, Katie. This is actually your first mailbag.
It is.
Right?
Yes.
Forgot. This is a bad job by me.
Okay.
So to let you know that it's been a while since we did a mailbag, a whole off season. So when you say it, you know PTI, right? The show on ESPN.
Yes.
Pardon the interruption.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I just haven't heard the acronym. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. But Tony and Mike do the thing where they do the mailbag and they have a little mailbox and he says mailbag. Well, for whatever reason, one of the four or five very bizarre skill sets that John Breach possesses is imitating that mailbox and the way that he says the word mailbag. So allow me to what you what hey, I'll show you what you can do, and then for future mailbags you'll know.
Okay.
Like, I guess it's time, Breach, to open up the mailbag. I told you, right?
I love that, and it kind of reminds me of like Blue's Clues. I feel like you kind of sound.
Would you like to give it a shot? It's very invigorating to leave it hanging and just let Breach knows he'll feel it. And so like once you get used to it, you can just be like, all right, let's get another question from the mailbag.
Okay. It is now time to get into the
mailbag.
Okay. I love it. Oh, we got like a little different variation on all of this. Okay.
He's running out of steam.
I know. We'll give you a little bit of a break here and let's get into our first question. And it is from Josh Brown 33. I'm not going to say all of the names here, but we'll go ahead and say the first one. What NFL players, coaches, GMs, a lot of slashes there, do you most liken to your co-host?
Yeah, I saw this one. I meant to ask before we started. So we're saying, and IG, you can see, so you know, you can submit questions for the mailbag, by the way, Instagram, Twitter, at Pick Six Pod for both of those. And then on the YouTube chat, if you're watching in the chat, just make sure you tag Billy on a day that he's working. Don't be like, expect any like comment on YouTube to magically work. Like if you comment on like an Aaron Rodgers emergency podcast, like, hey, what's the deal with the The Saints. I'm probably not gonna answer that one. So this is saying, like, if, like, I'm just supposed to pick NFL players and coaches and GMs and compare them, like
to when any I think of Katie, your co-hosts.
When I think of Katie Mox, I think of, or when I think of Breach, yeah. I think of blah, or like, is that what we're going for?
Yeah, that's what I liken this to.
Oh, okay. I don't want to start.
Yeah. No, this is hard. Breach?
I only did coaches. I kind of, my brain erased the question and I only read coaches. So I'll go first since I have one for each of you.
Okay.
Katie, you are Mike McDaniel. You're the new up-and-comer, trendy, high upside, but we don't know how it's all going to play out. You might win the Super Bowl next year, but, you know, you might get tired of us and be like, I'm done with this thing and quit coaching after you go 5-12. We don't know. We don't know. Brinson, this is way too generous. I should switch it.
I love it already.
You are Kyle Shanahan. You think outside the box. You do really well, but you still have, you know, you haven't won that Super Bowl yet. You're still aiming to get the top thing. But you've been so consistently good throughout your career that you're beloved.
Wow. Beloved, I think you mean, but thank you. Or beloved. I don't know. I'll take any and all compliments. Also, it does fitting that Katie is a disciple of the, like, you know, it's like not the, but like the
four. Yes. Yes.
Like, no, but it's like, it's the coaching tree. Disciple is a bad word. Sorry. Coaching tree plus the 49ers. Mm-hmm. You know, like it all makes sense.
I love it.
I mean, I'm not sure that we can do better than that.
I don't think we can either.
I'm trying to think, like, I mean, I guess we have to
Breach, do you something. Have one for me, Breach? Do you have one for me, Breach, since you gave it?
I did not have one for you, Billy.
It's very selfish of you to suggest that you would have one. But you could be... Jonathan Gannon. You could be Jonathan Gannon. How about that?
I hate you.
Thank you. So Breach, I think that Breach... When I always think of Breach, I mean, I think of like... Trying to think like somebody who maybe you're Zach Taylor.
Zach Taylor.
Like, you got a lot of regular season titles. You're piling them up.
I'll be Zach Taylor.
Yeah. We're not sure if like and the Google, your friends at Google or like or whatever, you know, whoever you've got hostage at your house that like knows the algorithms of the internet, like that person's probably Joe Burrow. We're not sure if you're really good at your job or if like you're great at your job or if you're just a man of the people in Cincinnati. But you keep winning on a regular basis. Actually, I think it's a better, I'm trying to think of the best example of Breach would be. Zach Taylor's probably a bad one. I'm thinking of like all these traffic titles you had for like just piling them up.
Matt LaFleur.
Ooh.
Matt LaFleur is the answer. Thank you for fixing that for me. Yeah. And
kind of look like him too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That is his. We've been saying that for years. I can't believe I've whiffed on that. Bad job by me. Bad job by Kyle Shanahan there. I was too busy game planning how to choke another Super Bowl away. Sorry.
Forgot the rest of your treat.
Too busy accepting your compliments.
I know. I was too busy thinking about, like, ooh, I'm Kyle Shanahan. How nice. See, Katie can be.
It's tough.
I know, it's tough.
I feel like I'm Mike McDaniel now. It's just who I am.
I know. But
he's now your animal.
It's hard to beat Mike McDaniel. I was going to say, like, you'd be Robert Saleh, too, for, like, geographical locations and coming from the 49ers tree. You know, you're having to play a little defense with some of these people on this podcast.
Jesus Christ, yes.
and maybe... You get to work with a former first round pick quarterback who fell in the draft, Brady Quinn, just like Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh.
Notable. Do you guys want to give? Do you want to do like Ryan Wilson and Brady Quinn as well?
Sure. Wilson is either Mike Tomlin or Sean McDermott. I'll say Sean McDermott. He doesn't like Wilson's got that, like, he's like a scary nerd. Like a very stern nerd. I'm so mad about this, and I'm going to yell at you like a dad.
Okay,
like,
who's Mike Pete Tomlin, Frisco? Who's
Pete Frisco? Wait. It's funny that you said Wilson is Tomlin or McDermott, because I was going to say Tomlin or Pete Carroll, and we all defensive coaches for whatever reason, who have largely been successful for thinking kind of outside the box on their own side of the ball.
But notably, both Mike Tomlin and Sean McDermott went to William & Mary with Ryan Wilson. They were there at the same time as Ryan Wilson. In fact, Ryan Wilson went up to Sean McDermott at the combine and was like, hey, Sean, I was at William & Mary with you at the same time. He's like, that's nice. And Wilson was like, and like froze up. I just think McDermott, you know, like a defensive coach, very studious, very rigorous, seems academic almost like to a fault in terms of his anal retentiveness. Mike Tomlin a little looser, a little cooler. Wilson not loose and cool. You know, sometimes he'll try to wear a hoodie and a blazer and make people think that he's loose and cool, but inside he's really like his body, his brain is screaming, why, Ryan, why? Where's your tie? Ah! So I'll say Sean McDermott for Wilson. And then for Brady,
John Payton.
Sean Payton. What's the rationale?
Just, I mean,
nobody's disagreeing per se, but
exactly. It just fits.
I'll say, I think we want a former quarterback. What about
Kevin O'Connell?
I was going to say Kevin O'Connell, Cliff Kingsbury, obviously fired, so that wouldn't work quite as well. I would, if you told me I was Cliff Kingsbury, I'd be like, fire me away. Like if I look like that.
I don't think Cliff Kingsbury is good looking. I'm just going to go.
That's because you're a Niners fan.
I think that a lot of people are. I think that LaFleur is really good looking. I mean, there's a lot of coaches, but I don't know why Cliff Kingsbury does not do it for me.
Can you imagine if Kingsbury is listening to this podcast right now? You just broke his heart. Yes. Confidence is going to go way down. He lost his job. He's not universally attractive anymore. Nothing is going right for that guy.
I respect the
swimming against conventional wisdom is Cliff Kingsbury is not good looking. I do find his general attitude a little bit off-putting from a hotness perspective. For instance, I think that, and this is maybe me being older, I think Pete Carroll is better looking than Cliff Kingsbury.
I have such a hatred for Pete Carroll as a 49ers.
Pete Carroll's a silver fox. I mean, that dude is 70 years old.
The chewing of the gum is.
Oh, I love it.
And I'm not saying that Cliff Kingsbury is not good looking. I just don't think he's that good looking. I don't think I think LaFleur Breach is a lot better looking.
Interesting. Should we do an MFK with NFC West coaches?
Later. Okay, let's move on to the next question. I feel like we beat that one dead. All right, what is going to happen? There's two Vikings questions. Number one, what is going to happen with Dalvin Cook? And also, any thoughts about Danielle Hunter staying in a Vikings uniform?
So Dalvin Cook, it feels like, is just going to be traded, but I'm not sure
where
or how. The issue for the Vikings is that, you know, he's a $14 million cap hit in 2023. They do save almost $6 million in cap space by cutting him now. We are, of course, it is May 25th. So in
actually, it is not May 25th. It is Monday, May 30th.
My bad.
June 1st is 2 days away, if that's what you were specifically.
Well, one, it may be a bad idea to ask this question now when this mailbag is not going to air for 5 or 6 days if Dalvin Cook is traded over the weekend.
Hello, everyone in the chat.
Yes. Hello, everybody in the chat from the past. I think that when you look at what the situation for the Vikings is, as of after June 1st, if they cut Dalvin Cook, they would save $9 million in cap space. Because June 1st, if you designate him a post June 1 release, can you cut somebody after June 1st and designate him not a pre June 1st release? Probably not.
No, then you would cut them before June 1st, Princeton.
Right, exactly. Point being is that if they cut him before Tuesday, they would save $5.899 million in salary cap space. If they cut him afterwards, it would be $9 million in cap space. So I think at this point, if he's not traded over the weekend or he's not traded by today, if he hasn't been traded as of now, they're probably just going to cut him after June 1st and save that $9 million and let somebody else pick him up, because it tells me that no one is really interested in taking on his $14 million salary cap hit. And I don't think the Vikings will want to hold on to it either.
Yeah, I think, Brenton, that hits the nail on the head. And I do think if the Vikings were able to trade him, a trade would have happened already. Because look, the thing that teams were waiting for was, hey, let's get through the draft. Let's see if we draft a running back. Let's see if we need a running back. Now teams have had a month to kind of assess their situation, figure out if Dalvin Cook is somebody they need. And no one is calling the Vikings. And then you look at his salary cap hit, as Brenton mentioned. And I think Minnesota's got to be thinking, yeah, we're done. I mean, you don't change your Twitter header and take out your star running back unless you're planning on getting rid of that star running back. You know, it's like if you had a girlfriend or a significant other and they're like, are we broken up? And you're like, no, we're fine. But then you change your Facebook profile to you with another girl and your profile picture to you with it. And they're like, okay, something's messed up here.
You think that's the reaction? Is okay, something's messed up here?
Longer in a relationship.
Yeah, you're like single as hell and you start firing up Tinder. Like, I don't think it's like, okay, I'm just curious what's going on here. It's like, what the beep, beep?
Well, I think Dalvin Cook got the message.
Lose it. I would lose
everyone
it.
Would lose. Yes. Yes. If you're dating somebody and they show up on Tinder, you
then can you're be not upset. Dating them.
Which, by the way, that has happened to a friend of mine. She was dating somebody. I was swiping on some apps and I'm like, this your man?
Yeah.
Did she say they were dating or did he say they were dating? Or did they both agree that they were dating?
And then he was swiping on the apps and then it was like, oh, it's old. I wasn't really on. And I'm like, no, bro. Because at that point, it was when the app said how long somebody was on there. And it was like, they were on 24 hours ago or something. So
it's like a profile picture of like somebody from like 2 weeks ago. You know, I know somebody who got caught like that, but they forgot to delete the app when they came back in town. And it was like, all of a sudden it was like matching with like, and they're like, what the, and he was like, oh, I was just trying to find some friends from my high school. And it's like,
Yeah. You're always going to get caught with that, everybody on here. All right.
So don't do it. So real quick to finish that thought though, is that I think Dalvin Cook gets cut. I think it happens at some point in June. I don't think there's any way he plays for the Vikings. And as for Danielle Hunter, think that it was smart for the Vikings to keep him. I mean, once they shipped off Za'Darius Smith, it was pretty clear that, hey, Danielle Hunter's sticking around. We're probably going to give him more money because we cannot let him leave. We can't let the guy who had 10 and a half sacks last season leave this defense when we don't have Za'Darius Smith anymore. So I think that kind of cemented Hunter's status in Minnesota as a key player on that defense. So I think it's smart. I mean, we're talking about a guy who has had double-digit sacks in three of the past four seasons. So, I mean, he's a huge part of that defense. And with Za'Darius Smith out, he becomes even bigger. So I think it's a big deal that
Did they give him more money? Did I miss?
Did they? No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. If you look at Danielle Hunter.
I think he wants more money is what I'm saying. And yeah, I think they will eventually give it to him.
So he's in the final year of his deal because I believe the last 2 years are automatically voided. With the final 2 years of 2024 and 2025 are void years. So he's in the final year of his deal. If they cut him, even as a post-June release, so right now they would actually lose $6 million in salary cap space if they cut him before June 1st. If they cut him after June 1st, they would save.
Danielle Hunter?
Yeah.
He's not getting cut.
Yeah.
They just traded Za'Darius Smith.
No, I agree. I'm just saying like he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Now, but after June 1st, they could cut him and then free up $6 million in salary cap space. I'm not saying they're going to do that. I'm just saying that that's like where they're at. Like this is a really well-structured contract because the two void years and then like this year, if you're like last year, if they cut him, they would have lost $17 million in salary cap space. This year would be like 5.5. And he, you know, 29-year-old pass rusher, certainly he wants a new contract. I would suggest that go ball out this year and then go hit the free agent market this offseason.
Yeah, but I think he doesn't want to play for the $4.9 million base salary that he
feels
like he deserves more than that. And so he's basically saying, hey, give me more money. And now
that's right. When he signed this deal, it was like, it was below market. Yeah, that's right. He signed that deal. It was like 5 years, $72 million for a guy who was like 25 at the time. Yeah, that's your problem, pal. Actually, I take that back. Poorly structured contract. You can't cut him, but like you're not going to get more money.
So he's staying in a Vikings uniform, just not getting more money.
a Pearson.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here. We're not breaking up. We're just going on a break. And we're being very upfront about it, not changing our status. You're watching Pick Six. We'll be right back.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast. Happy Memorial Day here with Breach and Brinchen. Brinson. Make sure. Wow, that's a new one for me. Brinchen.
The Brinch pin of this podcast.
Here with Breach and Brinson. And we are going through your mailbag questions today. Follow us on social if you're not already at Pick Six Pod across all platforms. Okay, so now we're moving to a Seahawks question. How well will Geno Smith do this upcoming season? Man just got paid. I know you guys are both pretty high on the Seahawks this year. Breach, I believe it's you that kind of likes them maybe to win the NFC West, right? Or was that Ryan Wilson?
I think it was Wilson. I'm almost always high on the Seahawks. I thought they would win, I think, 7 or 8 games last year. I was shocked they made the playoffs. But Pete Carroll always just – John Schneider, the front office, like they make good decisions and the team always plays well. And so, I just always think they're going to do well, except I don't think they're going to do so well this year. I just think that what we saw from Geno Smith, you know, obviously he played well for a good chunk of the year, but it was at the beginning of the season. As we got toward the tail end of the season, he really started to regress. I mean, his play got worse. His accuracy went down. I think through the first 12 weeks, he had like 9 or 10 games where his QB rating was over 100. And then over the final 5 weeks, he only had one game where it was over 100. And, you know, we saw that they had a 3-game losing streak in there, I think, in December. So it's just, it's not like defenses have figured out Geno, but I think defensive coordinators have kind of figured out what he does best and how to stop it. And he doesn't have a huge arsenal like you might see from another quarterback. So I think Geno will be good this year again. I don't think he's going to be great. So I think the Seahawks, he's going to be a top 16 quarterback, but not top 10. So whatever you think that gets you as a Seahawks fan, I don't think they win 10 games with Geno.
Was Geno a top 10 quarterback last year?
Was he?
Probably.
I feel like most people would say yes.
Yeah, I think so. But you also have a situation where I don't think Aaron Rodgers or Matthew Stafford were top 10 quarterbacks last year. And they had been the year before. Tom Brady probably was. I'm just thinking about the top 10. Like if Stafford and Rodgers bounce back, you know, they're top 10 guys.
Well, real quick, if you go by ESPN's QBR, Geno had the 7th highest number. And if you just go by QB rating, Geno had the 5th highest number.
Okay. So
for Geno to be the offensive player of the year, it's plus 7,500.
75-1.
I would bet on myself before I'd bet on Geno.
I would bet on Geno before I would bet on Geno before I bet on you, Breach, but it's not that much further. I think like the way to do this is to classify what do we consider to be a good season? What is a great season? And as Breach sort of pointed out, like 10 wins, like that's, if the Seahawks win 10 games, it means Geno probably had a really good season similar to this year, to last year.
How about we make the question, do you think he will be better than last season, worse than last season, or about the same?
I think he will be a little bit worse than last season. I would be surprised if he is as good as this past season when he led the league in completion percentage, top 10 in passing yards, top 10 in top 5 in passing touchdowns, and fifth overall in passer rating. So I think that you can have a really good season from Geno Smith. I think it's unlikely we get the same season.
All right, that's fair. Moving on to another interesting question here. What are the expectations for the Chargers this year, Brinson? The Chargers
Heartbreak.
Yeah.
A crippling and debilitating heartbreak, I believe, is the answer we're looking for.
Is Joey Bosa going to stay healthy? Because I feel like every year.
Probably not. Joey Bosa missed, you know, I was saying this about Joey Bosa. I love Joey Bosa.
Yeah.
I'm a Bosa guy. But like Joey Bosa is willing to, I think, and I think this is smart, to be patient with injuries and to make sure that his long-term health is a priority. I mean, he was that way when he was coming into the season. Like he was a little banged up, or coming into his rookie year, but he was a little banged up and was, you know, contractual stuff and, you know, still won rookie of the year. So, or defensive rookie of the year. So not a huge deal. The Chargers don't stay healthy. Okay. They just don't. And if the Chargers are going to be really good, they need Keenan Allen and Mike Williams to stay healthy and to play 14 games apiece minimum. They need Joey Bosa and Derwin James to stay healthy and play 14 games apiece minimum. Like, that's what has to happen for the Chargers to make a playoff run, is those four. Because, I mean, and we're assuming Justin Herbert plays 17 games, right? Like, or 16 games, however he needs to get a full season. If Justin Herbert doesn't, if he misses time, it's over. But those four guys, to me, are the key. If you wanted to, you could absolutely throw in Rashawn Slater. You saw last year they were able to manage without him in the starting lineup, but like, he makes a world of difference. And then Austin Eckler too. Like, they have so many pieces. It is so easy to talk about the Chargers and talk about this roster and to think about what the upside of what the Chargers could be if Kellen Moore comes in and Justin Herbert clicks and how good they can be. And then it's just so easy to be like,
well, and to Brinson's point, and you're naming all these amazing skill players, to talk about Bosa and their defense. So if you're talking specifically about what the expectations should be for this team, I think it has to be at least one playoff win. The last time we saw them on the field, they were blowing a 27-0 to lead to Jacksonville. What? That's not fireable.
If only somebody called that midway through the game.
Right. I mean, if this team doesn't get at least to the playoffs, yeah, I think Brandon Staley's got to be on the hot seat. Maybe you think about moving on from him if they completely miss the playoffs. If they get to the playoffs and say they're favored by a touchdown and don't win the game, again, I think you have to, like, has Staley reached his ceiling in two seasons? So I think that if you're Brandon Staley, you don't feel comfortable if you don't win a playoff game this season. The Chargers have a lot of talent. And I think that the front office has to want to see this team get the divisional round, which they have only done once since 2014. So I think the expectations, if you're a Chargers fan, should be at minimum the divisional round of the playoffs.
There's also this little lingering thing that isn't really being talked about, but that to me could end up mattering somewhat, is if the Broncos are really good and Sean Payton is the reason, and the Chargers,
yeah,
and everybody knows that Sean Payton wanted that job, but because Tom Telesco knew that his job might be in jeopardy if he brought Sean Payton in, didn't want to move on from his guy, Brandon Staley. This is how this works in the NFL, right? There's always a little bit of power shifting, Game of Thrones style stuff. Tom Telesco, I mean, look, let's be real here. Sean Payton is a better bet as a head coach than Brandon Staley at this point of their careers. I feel safe saying that. Tom Telesco was more likely to put the Chargers in a position to win a championship if he convinced the Spanish family to go out and pay Sean Payton whatever it is he wanted to be the head coach of the Chargers. However, Tom Telesco was also more likely to lose his job in the short and long term because of Sean Payton, because Sean Payton will want his own GM with Sean Payton's success. I could also lose it if Brandon Staley stinks. So it's a weird sort of dynamic there. But if the Broncos are really good and the Chargers miss, and it maybe knock the Chargers out of the playoffs, and or the Chargers miss the playoffs entirely, like, that is going to weigh onto that as well, because they could have certainly had Sean Payton, unless you think that was complete BS and smoke, which I do not.
Yeah, I agree with that, Brenton.
Yeah, agree. But what about this 9.5 win total? It's pretty high. You guys are both talking about divisional rounds of the playoffs. Over is -125, under plus money, +105.
Yeah, the Brinson model has the Chargers going 8-9. I don't feel great about it. Like, I think that, you know, they opened up against Miami, at Tennessee, at Minnesota, and then Vegas at home. But they could be 4-0 to start the season very easily. I had them even going 3-1 there. I had them losing their last four games at Vegas, Buffalo at home, which is going to be a Bills bonanza in Los Angeles. Bills fans will pack that place, at Denver, and then Kansas City at home. Like, I mean, dude, their schedule here's their post-bye schedule. And it's a lot of games because their bye is in week 5, which is very early for the Chargers and problematic. Dallas at home. That place will be a Cowboys game. That is a Cowboys game. It's a Cowboys home game.
100%.
At Kansas City. Right.
At Kansas City on a short week.
Yes.
Because they play Monday against the Cowboys.
Good luck with that. The Bears at home. I had them penciled in for a win there. At the Jets following a Bears game. The Lions at home. So tough matchups here at Green Bay, which is just a difficult place to play. A total wild card. We don't know whether the Packers will be any good or not. Baltimore at home will be a Ravens friendly crowd. Then at New England, I mean, they are bouncing back and forth like left and right from West Coast to East Coast. Denver at home, at Las Vegas, Buffalo at Denver, Kansas City at home. It's a really, really tough run for the Chargers. I think they absolutely have to start 3-1 or 4-0. If they want a reasonable chance of making the playoffs in a very difficult AFC.
Well, yeah, to make the playoffs, books already favoring no there at -115. Yes.
Really?
-105. So
really?
Doesn't feel like there's a lot of yes. Yes.
That's a weird combination of 9.5 and
the under is +105. So yeah, it is a weird combination, but the books are leaning towards no on both.
That's so they're saying I think what they're saying is they think the Chargers could go 10-7 and miss the playoffs.
Wait, what's the yes on playoffs?
-105. They just don't know that. That's weird. You should bet.
So how would you bet that?
I would bet the.
You would bet the over and the no.
No. I think you could bet the. You either want to bet if you're bullish on the Chargers, you either want to bet the over. Or yes to make the playoffs. I think you bet the over knowing that there's a chance they could miss the playoffs at 10-7. Because that would be tough if you bet yes playoffs and they went 10-7 and didn't make the playoffs. Right, Breach?
Yeah. I mean, that is a risk you take in the loaded conference where that might not be good enough to get in the playoffs.
Yeah. And worth noting, Jimmy Garoppolo did have foot surgery. Probably not going to be ready for training camp. Like that just, you know, that's just one of those where. Well, and see, this is another interesting quirk too for the Chargers is that I was looking at the wrong team. I was trying to figure out what the hell was going on.
Oh, you mean that'll help them in the division? Yeah.
Yeah, they get the Chargers at home in week 4. So I mean, like they will get.
But that means maybe Vegas doesn't start off that good. That helps their. I see what you're saying. All right, yeah. Which rookie wide receiver will have the best season? Breach.
When I look at all these rookie wide receivers, I think that a lot of it has to do with what team you end up with. Obviously we saw, I think only 4 guys taken in the first round. And, you know, even though say Jackson Smith and Jigma, who might be the most talented and was the first receiver selected, he's going into an offense in Seattle where he might not put up the biggest numbers and therefore might not have the most successful rookie season. So I think if I had to pick one guy I like and one wild card, one guy I like is Quentin Johnson because he is going to the Chargers. First round pick. You have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams there. So automatically you're a guy who's probably going to get a lot of single coverage. Justin Herbert is a very good
he's not seeing a double team this year.
Yeah, exactly. And so, that is an offense that is set up for a rookie to have a lot of success at wide receiver. So I could see him putting up some huge numbers. And then I'm going to throw out a 4th round pick in Charlie Jones, only because the Bengals drafted him. And I think that you have kind of that 4th guy who could be a sneaky good player in the Bengals offense behind Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd, that guy that just no one's going to pay attention to because you're so focused on the other 3 guys. But obviously, when you're the fourth guy, you're probably not getting as many balls as Johnson would as the third guy. So I think Quentin Johnson probably is the biggest rookie year out of the receivers who were taken.
Yeah, that's I'm a big Quentin Johnson fan. I was actually just looking at Georgia's receiving stats, and obviously not that he played for Georgia, but he did play against Georgia's defense. The reason I was looking at Georgia's is because I love Zay Flowers. Ooh, for the Baltimore Ravens. You look at the Todd Monken style offense, and you know they threw to Brock Bowers and Kenny McIntosh a lot. You know, this is not an offense that was like heavily featuring a ton of wide receivers, but Ladd McConkey, 6 feet tall, 185 pounds. It's a reasonable comp to Zay Flowers, I think. Let me double check and see what Zay Flowers is 5'10", 177. So, I mean, like, you know, we're close enough. Like, I think this is the situation where with Odell Beckham and with Rashad Bateman, with Mark Andrews there. So, like, Mark, like, just sort of trying to fashion this. And I'm not saying the offense is going to be the same, right? Georgia, totally different ballgame. You have the ability to recruit players. You have all five stars. Kirby Smart's probably the best recruiter on the planet Earth right now. You are loaded at depth and skill guys. But, like, if Mark Andrews is your Brock Bowers here, and maybe you have some like J.K. Dobbins as your Kenny McIntosh, I guess. I mean, I think it's reasonable to say that Zay Flowers could be like your Ladd McConkey, or maybe Rashad Bateman is. These guys are, you use the tight end to stretch the field. You use the run game to really get downhill on defenses and force them to load up the box. And then you have a guy like Zay Flowers, I think, that is going to be vertical and horizontal, used in all kinds of different screen games, et cetera, et cetera. And I think, man, Zay Flowers can just be absolutely explosive for the Ravens. So big Zay Flowers guy. Love his potential for this season. And I would say Quentin Johnson, Zay Flowers are my two guys, just to double down with Breach, that I would be on board with.
Zay Flowers, 22-1 for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Quentin Johnson, 25-1 Offensive Rookie of the Year. Now, obviously, we know those normally go to quarterbacks, but would you throw any money on those guys, Brinson?
What were the numbers?
22-1 for Zay Flowers and Quentin Johnson, 25-1.
Oh, yeah.
Pass.
Beth. Give me Beth. Yeah. Although wide receivers don't win that award very often.
Except they've won it the last 2 years.
Except for the last 2 years.
Garrett Wilson, Jamar Chase.
Yes.
I will say that, like, you're right. Like, maybe they do. Wait, do they win it a lot? Am I stupid? I can't remember.
Not a lot. Before that, recently.
It was like Odell Beckham in 2014.
Before Wilson and Chase, there was a giant gap. From 2010 to 2020, Odell was the only receiver.
Yeah, okay, yeah, right. So, and then, like, you can look at the last 2 years and say Jamar Chase with that huge game against Kansas City in, like, week 15 or whatever it was, stole it from Mac Jones. I'm not saying that Jamar Chase didn't earn it, just that Mac Jones was minus 1,000 at that point in time. And then last year, Garrett Wilson had a great season, but it was a really – there just wasn't a lot, you know. If there wasn't, if there's a dominant, but this season, you know, Bijan's a huge favorite and the running back is going to get it, or unless there's a quarterback who just, step, like there's quarterbacks, so the running backs are going to get it unless a wide receiver goes nuts, unless it's just bad seasons from the quarterbacks and running backs.
And so, also, let's not forget that they changed the voting system last year where you can rank your candidates. Before 2022, you could only list one person on your ballot. Now you can list multiple people on your ballot. And Garrett Wilson didn't even get the most first place votes last year because Kenneth Walker got the most first place votes. But Wilson managed to win the award because he had more total points, which is just, I cannot believe more of a controversy wasn't made of that. Just Kenneth Walker got the most first place votes and did not win the award.
Pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy. All right, we're taking a quick break here. You're watching Pick Six. We'll be right back.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season.
The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
On Italy.
Absolutely astonishing.
As the race to qualify for Europe.
Huge moment.
All comes down to the final match day.
It's a goal.
Stream every pivotal Serie A match live on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to the Pick Six podcast. I'm Katie Mox here with Will Brinson and John Breach. And today is our Pick Six
mailbag
show. Yep. Thank you. I feel like maybe I didn't do this right yet. Maybe I didn't do this right.
That was right on time.
I waited a second for suspense. I wanted getting in Katie's head.
Well, let's see. You got to do micro dosing filibustering. Where you like draw it out. You're like, oh, and we're back. And now we've answered some questions already. Well, we answered some more. Possibly we could because it's the Pick Six.
Mailbag.
Even that was delayed too. Breach just might be off his game.
No, I think I said it too quickly. I think if I dragged it out, it would have given him enough time to be able to do it. So thank you for that.
You think most people think that my filibustering and loquaciousness is just like there's a tiny, tiny sliver that's actually planned. Most of it is just natural, spew guts. Blah, 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 blah.
It's also strategy and setting everybody else up to do what you want them to do by stretching it out. I like it, and I appreciate the feedback. All right, guys, keep it locked with us, obviously, all week for your NFL offseason news. And remember to like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTube page. Next question, where will Kareem Hunt land? Should he come to Denver? Kareem Hunt. Brinson?
Yeah, you know, I think that when you look at the various landing spots for Kareem Hunt, who is obviously not employed at the current moment, Denver could work. I actually don't know why he's a free agent. I'm kind of surprised by that.
He's free agent. Well, the Browns don't want him, it seems like, anymore.
I know, but he's only 27. This guy led the league in rushing. It may be a case of he wants, you know, he only had 3.8 yards per carry last year, 123 carries for the Browns. Didn't start, has only started 9 games since 2018 when he had the off field stuff and was released by the Chiefs. It's entirely possible that, remember he was signed by the Browns and John Dorsey, who had drafted him in Kansas City. So you do have a little bit of that stigma still attached, justifiably so. You have a running back who, given the deals that he signed in Cleveland, may want more money than what people want to give to running backs. And Breach, we just talked about with Dalvin Cook, like, you know, if you're interested in signing a older 2017 guy who was drafted in 2017 running back who has led the league in rushing, has not really had a full-time role most of his career because of injuries or because of splitting time with Nick Chubb, why not just wait and see if Dalvin Cook gets released and sign him instead? Because you'll probably get it.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, that's the issue here, I think, is part of why he's still a free agent. It's not, if Dalvin Cook gets released, now you're competing with Dalvin Cook to get signed. You're competing with Leonard Fournette to get signed.
2017 also.
With Zeke Elliott to get signed. So there's just all these running backs out there.
Mixon is not a guarantee to be on the roster.
Well, that's where I was going to go with the teams that are possible here is, you know, I think this person listed the Broncos because you have Javonte Williams coming off his ACL injury. You don't know what his status is going to be for week one. If you're the Broncos, you're hoping he's ready, and Kareem Hunt would offer some insurance. So that would be not a crazy signing as long as he's willing to sign for a salary that the Broncos are willing to pay, because they're not going to pay him $7 million to be the second or third running back if Javonte Williams is healthy. The Bengals definitely would be an interesting landing spot. They did draft, brought in Chase Brown to go behind Joe Mixon. So, and they already have Travion Williams, who, you know, the team likes. And so I don't know that they would need Kareem Hunt, but they do. You just don't know how this is going to play out. And if you can get him at a price you like, then yeah, I think you would at least look into him. I don't think the Bengals would sign him though. And then, you know, the other part is there's like, chatter out of Cleveland that he's lost a step. Brinson, you mentioned his 3.8 yards per carry last year. Before last season, he had never finished under 4.2 yards per carry, and he was averaging like 4.7 yards per carry in his career before last season. So this was a noticeable drop, and maybe that's what teams are seeing on film. Like, hey, this guy doesn't have that quick step anymore. And so, you know, we can kick the tires on someone else before we think about adding Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. And you remember too, last year, even though he was, so he signed a 2-year, $12 million deal. He had that 1-year deal in 2020. And I can't remember, I guess he would have signed that during the pandemic. You know, people just weren't weird contracts. Signs a 2-year, $12 million deal with the Browns. Plays that out. He's now, you know, past that. You know, these guys who were drafted in 2017 have enough wear and tear on them and are veterans enough where they command a certain amount of money or want a certain amount of money, have certain expectations about what their role is going to be with the team. And teams don't want to meet either of those things. So it just becomes tough. And then you add in the Dalvin Cook factor, maybe the Joe Mixon factor. You know, it's now is not the time to overpay a veteran running back, right? Like late May is not when you overpay a veteran running back, particularly one who's had sort of been a little public about his contract demands and has had an off-field issue that caused the team that drafted him to cut him the year after he led the league in rushing. So like if you're signing Kareem Hunt, and especially if he's lost a step, it's just not now. I don't think now is when you sign him. I think, you know, like, what do you sign him to a deal and he tears, you know, something happens in OTAs? Like, maybe after OTAs is when he signs.
Yeah, all right. It does feel like this is training camp, something closer to training camp.
All right. So we'll have to see where he lands. Maybe Denver, maybe not. All right. Can Trevor Lawrence be an MVP candidate? He's currently tied with Justin Herbert on the odds boards at plus 1500 behind.
He's 15 to 1?
15 to 1.
Oh, God.
Tied with Kirby.
Get off the podcast right now and go bet $4,000.
Way too short, man.
Yeah.
Brooks Koepka was like 20 to 1 to win the PGA Championship.
And Patrick Mahomes. All right. So then, yes, the answer to this is yes. And you are going to go ahead and place that bet.
No. The number's too short. Like, I would want like 35 to 1. See, this is the issue here is like, and this is what has happened with the MVP odds. Like, look at this. And I'm not knocking Caesars because it's like this everywhere.
Yeah.
Six dudes are inside 15 to 1. And one of them is not Aaron Rodgers. And one of them, there's another one that's obvious, I think, and I'm forgetting who it is, but nevertheless, like all those guys Lamar, all those guys can't be Aaron Rodgers 18 to 1. Look at this. These six guys are 15 to 1. The true odds of this being the case is these odds are not reflective of reality. Now
they're reflective of the market and what people are betting.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, like, when you, like, for instance, think of it as like a golf tournament.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's so much random crap that can happen in an NFL season that will happen in an NFL season to cause somebody to shoot up. Basically, in 2018, Patrick Mahomes was like 75 to 1 at one point. In 2019, Lamar Jackson was like 50 to 1, 60 to 1, 70 to 1. Rodgers, his back-to-back MVPs, he was north of 20 to 1. Vegas has gotten burnt by these MVP odds and has shrunk them down to a place where I don't think there's any real value in betting somebody under 25 to 1 or less. Now, look, if you bet Tua at 22 to 1 and he wins, you hit the bet. Great job. Congratulations. Is that a good number? Hell no. Like, it's really unlikely that Tua is not returning value to you at 22 to 1. I'm not sure Lamar Jackson is returning value at 18 to 1 when he was 35 to 1 a month ago. Trevor Lawrence at 15 to 1 is a horrendous bet. Like, if you're going to bet Trevor Lawrence at 15 to 1, just bet Mahomes at 7.5 to 1. It's more likely to happen. I think Trevor Lawrence is absolutely an MVP candidate. I think he can win the MVP. Would I bet him at 15 to 1? No chance in hell.
Or, you know what you could do if you want to bet Trevor Lawrence? You wait till after week two when Jacksonville plays the Chiefs and Mahomes outplays him. And then Trevor Lawrence's odds drop to about 40 to 1 and Mahomes shoots up to plus 300.
Now we're talking.
And then you jump on that. But you know what? Look, they have Calvin Ridley back. And if you listen to Devontae Adams, I'm not sure if you saw what Devontae Adams said. He was asked to rank the top five receivers in the NFL. He put Calvin Ridley in his top five.
Really?
He said, look, this guy is awesome on film. He just hasn't, like, gotten a chance to really shine. He, you know, obviously was with the Falcons for a few years before being suspended all of last year
and traded to
Jacksonville during that suspension. So if you look at what Jacksonville has, if Calvin Ridley looks like he did 2 years ago, and you know, you have Zay Jones and Christian Kirk, who are both now have a full year in this offense and understand it better and more chemistry with Trevor Lawrence, that there's no reason Lawrence couldn't put up some huge numbers. So I do like him as an MVP candidate, but I do agree with Brenton that 15-1 compared to the other guys, and when you look at all these odds, doesn't make a lot of sense. I would probably bet him at 20-1, but 15-1 is too short.
Yeah, I agree 100%. All
right. Before we get out of here, I would like to know who would you liken to Pete Prisco? It's always a fun one.
A coach,
a player, a GM. Also, do we think that Brady could be more like a Bill Belichick, someone that's like always about their business, can be fun?
Let's settle down. Don't tell him that.
Okay.
he's more like Kevin O'Connell, I think. Okay. Not sure if he's any good. Might be good. Oh. I'm just kidding. Brady's the best. Pete could be...
Prisco, if we're talking about de facto general managers, he's Jerry Jones. Just been whining for 30 years. Sometimes
very fake tan.
Sometimes his analogy is always learn the game.
Yeah. And like Jerry Jones is talking about like circumcising mosquitoes. You're like, what are you talking about, old man?
What?
You never heard that quote? He's like, we're trying to circumcise mosquito.
Do you think Prisco would be insulted or take it as a compliment if he found out we compared him to Jerry Jones?
Oh, insulted. Badly insulted. Well, I'd be rich. That'd be great. But I make better football decisions than that old man. Everyone knows that Stephen Jones is pulling the trigger in Dallas. And Will McClay, it's not Jerry Jones. He hasn't done anything. He sold his soul to try to win it. Yeah, something like that.
That was spot on.
Thank you.
That was spot on. Okay.
Jerry Jones would be fun, though. He's like, well, I just think that if you're trying to circumcise a mosquito, it's just the craziest thing in the world to do.
Pete would want us to compare it to Belichick, but we're not going to do it.
We would never do that.
I think Brady is a good Belichick comparison, but that's
next time you see Brady, tell him he looks like Belichick and see what he says.
You just want this to be brought up to Brady tomorrow on the podcast.
No, I don't want him to. He does not look like Bill Belichick. I'm not going to say that. All right, guys, All right, well, yeah, maybe as he gets older, that's going to wrap up the show today. Happy Memorial Day. Hopefully you guys are enjoying your holiday weekend. Make sure you join us next week. Oh no, tomorrow. Sorry.
With Brady.
Can we cut this? I don't even know. All right. Make sure you join us tomorrow at 1 p.m.
Just for
more off-season news. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTube page for everyone listening to audio only. Download, follow, leave a 5-star review, especially on this episode, and tell your friends to listen and watch the pod. We'll see you next.
Mailbag.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.